Plus 49.
Bienvenidos to another episode of Plus 49. I am Sigrid Arteaga. So thrilled to have you with us for another episode. Today, we're sitting down with Ben Wilkings from Early Bird. We'll also have some spotlights on the week's hottest events, break down the top stories of the past couple of days, and of course, get into our favorite segment, Ask a German. This is Plus 49. The German election, or Bundestagswahl, is getting closer, and the political landscape is shifting rapidly. Last week, we covered Friedrich Merz's five-point plan, which includes permanent border controls and stricter entry requirements. If you missed it, you can find all the details on our website, www.plus49.de. And while the formation of a new government remains uncertain, the outgoing administration is pushing through several key legislative changes. One significant new law has just been passed, expanding maternity protections to those who have suffered a miscarriage. Germany's Mutterschutzgesetz grants maternity leave 6 weeks before and 8 weeks after birth, with financial support. Previously, those who miscarried before week 24 had no legal leave benefits. As of June the 1st, affected employees will receive recovery leave and Mutterschaftsleistung. Freelancers with statutory health insurance are included, but those with private insurance are not. But an amendment is expected. Meanwhile, economic developments are also making headlines, with Tesla experiencing a significant decline of nearly 60% in sales in Germany. This sharp decline follows the government's withdrawal of EV subsidies and a broader slowdown in electric vehicle demand. However, Tesla drop contrasts with a 53% rebound in overall EV sales in Germany. Experts suggest that Tesla's struggle in Germany is not solely due to the economic factors. Elon Musk's outspoken support for the far-right Alternative for Germany, AfD party, ahead of the elections has sparked some controversy. His endorsement has drawn backlash from politicians and consumers alike, with some distancing themselves from the brand. Activists recently projected anti-Tesla messages on the company's Berlin factory, adding to the tension. Additionally, Musk has been accused of making gestures reminiscent of the far-right symbolism, further damaging Tesla's public image. Industry analysts warn that these controversies could have long-term consequences for Tesla's market's position in Germany, which is a key European automotive hub. With beer being one of the things Germans are most famous for, and all of the Volksfest happening throughout the year, it is no wonder Germans know how to party. And even winter doesn't stop them. So, while some might imagine winter vacations as cozy nights by the fireplace, think again. Many Germans head straight to the Alps, Austria, or the Bavarian mountains for one of their favorite winter's activities. Skiing. But skiing is not just about hitting the slopes. It is also about what happens afterwards, and that is après-ski. Après-ski, which means literally after skiing, is an essential part of the winter sports culture in Germany and Austria. After a long day of skiing or snowboarding, skiers gather together at the mountain huts, lodges, and bars to enjoy music, dancing, and of course, a few drinks. Traditional après-ski hits often is a mix of Schlager and party music. They set the mood. Popular drinks include the classic Glühwein and Jägertee, which is a strong mix of tea. For those who want something a little stronger, the infamous Flying Hirsch is a popular choice, which is a combination of Jägermeister and an energy drink. This warm drink helps the skiers recover from the cold and get into the party mode. Some of the most famous après-ski locations for Germans include Ischling and Sölden in Austria, as well as Garmisch-Partenkirchen in Bavaria. These destinations offer not only great slopes, but also legendary party scenes. Bars like the Moser Wirt in St. Anton and Kuhstall in Ischling are known for their wild après-ski atmosphere. But it's not only about drinking. Many Germans also enjoy winter activities such as sledding, winter hiking, and even ice bathing, which we already covered in a previous episode. Family-friendly resorts also provide quieter alternatives for those who prefer relaxations over partying. Whether it's spending the day hiking through the snow-covered forest or enjoying a peaceful winter evening by the fire, there's something for everyone in Germany's winter wonderland. The first time I did that, I basically was goofy, falling like a ball down the hill, and there was no après-ski for me. It was just straight to the hospital. But it was a great, great scene for a lot of people who saw me falling down. It was a great thing. Anyhow, one thing for sure is, whether it's on the slopes, in the bars, or just around the fire, Germans certainly know how to make the most of winter. Welcome to our interview with Ben Wilkening. He is from Early Bird. And first of all, hello and welcome, Ben.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate being on your show.
We're more than happy to have you with us. So let us know first, what is Early Bird?
Early Bird is one of the oldest or most established venture capital management firms in Germany. As the name says, it was founded in 1997. And since then has been investing in high-tech startups in Germany.
And you have an amazing program for non-Germans.
Exactly. It is called the Early Bird Vision Lab. And it is an incubator and a small fund for startups with migrant founders who've come to Germany to start and run their business and grow their business here in Germany.
You lived before in Russia. Do you think that starting a company in Germany is different, or is it harder than in Russia?
You picked the wrong country. Russia also, or maybe even more so than Germany, has an amazing bureaucracy. So from that point of view, I'm used to having to deal with bureaucracy. But migrants who do come to Germany, for example, from the US or other places, they say it's horrible and you have to fight with the bureaucracy all the time. I'm used to it, both having grown up in Germany and from Russia. So that's something we try to mitigate with our program and support migrant founders when they try to get through the bureaucratic maze in Germany.
Considering the current political situation, since you talk a lot with migrants, and especially migrants that are doing something active in Germany, do you have gotten more questions, or are they more anxious about the current state of affairs in Germany?
Well, actually, for many years, it's been going better. It used to be very, very difficult for foreigners to start a business in Germany. And over the last 10 years or so, the country had become much more open. But now, of course, we're seeing a reverse trend. And yes, people are becoming more worried and more anxious how the political development here is going to pan out, and it's not clear yet.
We're all definitely very interested in seeing what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, and of course, after the big voting on the 23rd of February. But we're here to talk about entrepreneurs and startups, and a couple of questions are coming your way, Ben, after this music's break. We are back with Ben from Early Birds. And Ben, so what is the first thing that you have to confront yourself when you decide you want to be an entrepreneur or you want to start your own company?
Well, first of all, I think it's already an entrepreneurial move to come to Germany and to do business here. So the first decision is actually already very, very entrepreneurial. I think in general, many people with particularly with a high qualification, education and knowledge come to Germany. Of course, they have opportunities in highly paid jobs. So the first decision you have to make, do I want to have a regular career as an engineer or a manager or something, or do I want to start my own business, which is a big step in terms of taking a risk doing that. I want to be independent in a foreign country. So I think it's just the principle of saying, yes, I'm in another country and I do something entrepreneurial, which is the hard part to do.
Well, Germany is not easy for just arriving in Germany. I think that is the best description I've gotten for the moment about just being an entrepreneur, just by the fact that you come to Germany, which is great. But in your experience, is there something that they have to really focus on? For instance, a lot of people believe that in order to be entrepreneurs or to start a startup, they have to have a business plan.
Well, I think in general, being an entrepreneur, whether you're German or not, has all kinds of challenges. And the first one, of course, is to develop an idea or a product that is unique and that hasn't been done before. So in that sense, yes, our program selects and supports founders who have come to Germany as entrepreneurs, but the products or the technology that we're looking at has to have global potential. It doesn't matter for the product who developed it or where it comes from. We really look for competitive, innovative technologies that could work anywhere in the world.
In our last segment with Ben, tell us a little bit about the program. How long is it? How can I apply? Is everybody there accepted, or how does it normally work?
Yeah. First of all, we have cohorts which last 6 months and they're rolling. So every 6 months with a break of a month or so, we start a new cohort. We are just starting the sixth cohort on the 31st of January, which is in a few days. And we admit 12 startups. We have two formal criteria. At least one of the founders has to be a first-generation migrant, meaning born outside of Germany, and it has to be a German legal entity. That's the formal side. What we're really looking for is startups which are what we call a venture case, meaning they're scalable and defendable. So it needs to have something unique, a technology, a branding, or something that really sets the company apart from competition and helps protect and grow fast.
Regarding the development of startups in the past couple of years, have you seen any difference from what people were looking into last 10 years or what they're doing right now? Is AI somehow like the big game changer?
Well, there's a flavor. You asked over 10 years. Actually, it changes every year. There's something new, which is the flavor of the month or the flavor of the year. At one point in time, it was blockchain. Before that, it was IoT. Now it's AI. Clean tech, of course, is a very important topic. So there's constant innovation in the innovation space. So it's always something new, and you have to be on top of it, and you have to understand as an investor which technologies really have impact. And of course, there's a lot of hot air as well, and you need to differentiate what's a truly useful innovation and what's just, you know, sexy at the moment.
Is there any power of networking, of community?
Absolutely, totally. It's the most important thing. And it's the thing our startup founders are missing most. They have absolutely competitive ideas, technologies, know-how, everything. But the network is super important to raise money, to get attention from the investors, and also to get your product introduced. So it's really the most important factor when it comes to being successful growing a startup.
Perfect, Ben. Thank you so much for this interview. And we hope that a couple of our listeners are already very excited about the project itself and will maybe contact you or Early Bird and submit their own ideas.
I'd like to add one more thing, which I forgot to mention before. To apply, it's pretty easy. You send an email to Vision Lab, one word, visionlab@earlybird.com, with your pitch deck and a few explanations of what you're trying to achieve.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ben, and until next time.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
My question is, why do Germans go naked in the sauna?
If you've ever stepped into a German sauna expecting a relaxing time in your swimsuit, you were probably met with some surprised looks. That's because in Germany, sauna and nudity go hand in hand. And no, it's not some weird exhibitionist thing. It's a mix of hygiene, tradition, and an entirely different attitude toward the human body. So why do Germans insist on sweating it out in the nude? Let's break it down. One of the biggest reasons for the strict no swimsuits rule in German saunas is hygiene. Think about it. When you sweat in a sauna, your body is trying to cool down. But if sweat gathers under a swimsuit, it can't evaporate properly, making it harder for your body to regulate its temperature. More importantly, a wet swimsuit is a bacteria trap. Whether it's sweat, chlorine, or moisture from the pool, sitting in a hot sauna in wet fabric is basically an invitation for germs. This is why Germans always use a towel to sit on. It keeps both you and the wooden benches clean. In effect, wearing a swimsuit in a sauna can get you kicked out. That might sound extreme, but the rule is in place to make sure everyone can enjoy a truly clean and comfortable sauna experience. For many people unfamiliar with German sauna culture, the idea of getting naked around strangers might feel awkward or even inappropriate. But here's the key difference. In Germany, nudity is not automatically linked to sexuality. Saunas are about relaxation, wellness, and health. If you feel that being naked in a sauna somehow compromises your modesty in a sexual way, then, to put it bluntly, a German sauna might not be for you. From the perspective of regular sauna goers, being naked is just part of the experience, and it only starts feeling awkward when some people remain clothed while everyone else follows the norm. It creates an imbalance that makes the whole situation uncomfortable. That's why the rule is strict. Either everyone is naked, or you find another sauna where swimsuits are allowed. For Germans, sauna culture is nothing new. It's part of a long-standing wellness tradition where nudity is completely normal. If you're new to Germany, you might be shocked at first, but this practice has been around for centuries. That said, if you're not comfortable with being completely nude, you do have options. Many saunas allow you to wrap yourself in a towel as long as you don't wear a swimsuit. Some saunas even offer designated textile days where clothing is permitted. So if you're new to this whole thing, start small and find what works for you. The bottom line, relax and enjoy. Germans take the sauna seriously, and for good reason. It's a place to detox, unwind, and let go of stress, without the discomfort of damp, unhygienic swimsuits. So if you find yourself in a German sauna, embrace the culture, grab a towel, and enjoy the heat.
That is a wrap-up for today's episode of Plus 49. Thank you so much, Madeleine, for making this possible. Thank you for tuning in, and don't forget to come back next week for more stories, insights, and of course, follow us on our Instagram account at Plus 49, and take a look at our website, www.plus49.de. Thank you so much, y hasta la próxima.